This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ورسلا قد قصصناهم عليك من قبل ورسلا لم نقصصهم عليك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ما بعد. So we are continuing our story of Adam عليه السلام. And as I have explained my methodology, that I do plan to take my time and go into all of these different tangents. Alhamdulillah, I think the feedback so far has been very good. A lot of you are very appreciative. There are some voices that they want a shorter, quick, condensed version. As I have said, feel free to take my material, inshallah, whenever Allah, yani if Allah wills, I finish it, and then extract from it, you know, smaller segments for other different audiences. But I feel that, inshallah, this is something that needs to be done where a very, very thorough and comprehensive analysis is done. And alhamdulillah, there is no time limit on this. If Allah wills, we will continue. And if Allah wills, then for whatever reason that is not going to happen, then Allah's qadr will always take place. So today, we will inshallah ta'ala actually pause at one verse that is very important in the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And it is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 30. So today will be, inshallah, an analysis and a tafsir of this very, very crucial ayah. What is this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. The translation of this verse is that recall when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to place a khalifa on earth. I'm going to leave it untranslated for now. They said, the angels, will you place on it someone who will spread corruption, yufsidu fiha, and shed blood, yasfiku dima? Yet here we are glorifying your praises and proclaiming your holiness. Allah responded, I know what you do not know. So this verse is a key verse in the creation story. And what is very interesting to note is that while the story of Adam occurs more than half a dozen times in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions key facts multiple times. For example, the story of the bowing down of the angels to Adam is literally mentioned over half a dozen times. This incident of Allah announcing that Adam is a khalifa, that Allah is placing on this earth a khalifa, and that Allah is making a grand proclamation in the celestial heavens, and that all of the angels are hearing the speech of Allah, and Allah is making this announcement that I am placing a khalifa on earth. It only occurs once in the entire Quran. So it's a very important point, therefore, to make a note that what exactly is this verse and what can we derive from this verse. And notice as well, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ, not the Arabic word, but another phrasing that might be possible, إِنِّي سَأَجْعَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I am about to make, I am going to make. No, جَاعِل, it's already been done. It's done and decreed. It's an established fact that I have placed, I am placing, it is now an act that has been done and decreed, and it is taking place. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And what is especially interesting is that this announcement, this proclamation, it is taking place and Adam's body is still up in the heaven. In all likelihood, now we are not 100% certain because we don't know, when was this announcement made? Was it made before the ruh was blown into Adam, which is what it appears to be the case? Or was it made right when the ruh was blown into Adam, which might be an interpretation? But whichever one you follow, at this stage, Adam is clearly up there. And Allah then says to the angels, bow down to Adam. We're going to come to that, inshallah, in a future week. So the announcement that Adam is being placed as a khalifa on earth is being made while Adam is actually not on the earth, while Adam is still in the heavens, and when Adam is being asked to enter Jannah in a little while, as we will come to. And therefore, this also indicates, and this is well known, that Allah did not create Adam for Jannah. That Adam's role and the progeny of Adam, it was decreed even before the ruh was blown in that you shall be on earth. And his place and the place of his progeny was known even to the angels, even before the fall, even before the expulsion. The angels were told that Adam and his progeny are going to be on this earth. Also, what is the purpose of this proclamation? Alhamdulillah. The purpose of this proclamation is to honor Adam and the children of Adam. As far as we are aware, no other entity, no other creation has been honored by such a grand proclamation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself announcing to the angels, Allah azza wa jal proclaiming to the most illustrious of his creation at the time. At the time, the angels occupy the highest rank, both physically and spiritually. And Allah says to them, I am creating a khalifa on this earth. So Allah azza wa jal is honoring us by announcing to the most honorable creation that, hey, there is now some competition for you in one sense. And of course, later on, they will be told to prostrate to indicate that Adam has superiority over them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the children of Adam in many different ways. Allah has honored Adam and through Adam, the children of Adam. As Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the children of Adam. So this is yet another honor. Now, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I am placing on this earth. It is something that is, as we said, the earth is going to be the permanent abode of the children of Adam when they are alive. Obviously, in the next life, that is something else. فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ. Okay, now we are going to pause here for quite a while and meander through. This is now a very deep philosophical / spiritual / political verse. What does it mean? Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. And here, I'm going to have to ask you to leave your preconceived notions at the door as you walk into this new territory. Pretend you had never heard any interpretation. One of our problems, dear Muslims, and I speak now, inshallah, hoping that you are becoming students of knowledge, you are increasing your awareness, you're raising the bar of Islamic knowledge. One of the problems is that when we hear one interpretation, or when we understand a verse in a particular manner, then it is as if somebody has put glasses on us, and we see the whole world through those glasses. And we assume and make presumptions about everything based upon an interpretation that was taught to us. And so, for many of us, when we read this verse, only one interpretation comes to mind. And it is but one. I'm asking you to leave that interpretation out and imagine you have no idea what this verse means. Let's turn to the books of tafsir. Allah has blessed us with a tradition that spans every geographic region, over 14 centuries of ulama. And we realize that they have left us a rich heritage. So let us see, let us mine from their amazing works, and let us cull from their experiences and the sum total of their knowledge and see what is the meaning of khalifa here. And if we do this, let us begin first and foremost with the linguistic meaning. Khalifa comes from khalafa. And khalafa means to stand in the place of something else. Khalafa means to stand where something else was standing. And this is a very clear Quranic usage. Surah Maryam verse 59. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. So, خَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. A generation came after them. This is now a generation came after them. There was a generation, and then another generation came. And in Surah Furqan, verse 62, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً. He has made the night and the day خِلْفَةً. What does khilfa mean here? After every night comes a day. After every day comes a night. The one is standing where the other used to stand. This is what khalafa actually means. And from this connotation, we get the meaning of to be behind somebody. Because khalf is also a term, a preposition that means behind. Because when you are behind somebody, that person is blocking you. You're about to take his place. So when you're behind somebody, this is called khalf. So from this notion of replacement, from this notion of taking over, we also get that famous hadith about fasting, la khalufu famis sa'imi, that the remnants of the breath of the person who is fasting is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means the remains of the mouth, of the breath that is in the mouth, it is called khaluf, because it is what is remaining of the mouth that is going to be expelled out. So this is the technical meaning of khalafa, is to stand in the place of something. Now, when Allah Azza wa Jal uses it in this verse, what does it mean? Well, Allah says in Surah Baqarah verse 30, إِنِّي جَاعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And He also says in Surah Al-An'am verse 165, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. And He has made you خَلَائِف, which is plural, of khalifa. He has made you khalaif of this earth. وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. And He has elevated some of you in ranks over others, so that He can test you with what He has given you. So He has made you khalaifa fil ardi. And He has raised some of you above others in ranks. This is another verse that talks about khalaifa fil ardi. And in Surah An-Naml, verse 62, Allah says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. Who else is there who responds to the dua of the one in distress? Who else is there who relieves the affliction? And who has made you خُلَفَاءَ on this earth? Who has made you successors on this earth? So Allah mentions the notion of خُلَفَاء of this earth and khulafa of mankind in at least three verses. The first is Surah Baqarah, verse 30. The second is Surah Al-An'am, verse 165. And the third is Surah An-Naml, verse 62. It is imperative that we look at all of these verses to really understand what is the meaning of khalifa. And if you cull through the books of tafsir, it is possible to broadly categorize interpretations into three broad categories. The first two of them, frankly, are of the same genre. And I was wondering, when I made these notes, I was wondering to actually make into two categories. And then I thought, you know what, let us be pedantic and make it into three. But I have to say, I could have done 1A, 1B, and 2, and it would have been just as valid. But, you know, you get the point, as we will talk about now. So what is the first interpretation? The first interpretation, which seems to be a majority interpretation of early scholars of tafsir, is that the khalifa here, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that mankind is now succeeding something else that was on earth. Okay? So the khalifa here is that there's something on earth, and Allah is saying, I'm now creating another creation that is gonna succeed, that is gonna take over from a creation that was already here. And this is something that is mentioned in quite a number of especially early tafsirs, and early scholars of grammar, and early scholars of philology and history, they mention this. So for example, the famous Al-Farahidi, who dies 170 Hijra, that is very early on. Al-Farahidi says, Al-Khalifa, and this is in a book of language, a book he has a mini dictionary, if you like, a dictionary. Al-Khalifa, he said, man istakhlafa makana man qablahu, the one who took over the place of the one before him. And the one one who stands in the place of the one who was before him. And then he says, and the jinn used to inhabit this earth. And then Allah Azza wa Jal made Adam and his children the Khalifa of them, that they shall now inhabit this earth. And this is the meaning of Allah's statement, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And Allah says, this is still Al-Farahidi, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ, meaning you keep on inheriting the earth one after the other. So the first is that humans are succeeding another creation before them. And this is also what Muqatil ibn Sulaiman, who died 150 Hijrah, the earliest printed tafsir that we have is from Muqatil ibn Sulaiman, and there's a long discussion about him which is beyond the scope of this class, but it is an early tafsir. And the discussion is about his knowledge and how was he a storyteller, was he a scholar, that's the discussion, but it's beyond the scope. The point is, regardless of what he was, his tafsir represents a window into very early discussion. How academic is it is the controversy. Was he just a storyteller or was he an actual scholar? Even if he's a storyteller, you're getting a glimpse into an early interpretation of the Quran. And Tafsir Muqatil, Muqatil ibn Sulaiman, he also mentions this notion that Adam took over from the jinn before him. Another early tafsir of As-Samarqandi, who died 300 something Hijrah, the tafsir As-Samarqandi, Abu Layth As-Samarqandi, also says the same thing. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim comments, the majority of scholars of the past and present claim that Adam was made to succeed whoever was before him on earth. Adam was made to succeed whoever was before him on this earth. So this interpretation, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, it might be novel to the ears of many of you, but it is in fact the predominant interpretation. There is no notion of political vicegerency, because again, the common way that we understand this verse, especially in our times, is that man is God's vicegerent on earth. And I'm going to come to this opinion. It's there. People have said it. But we should understand it is but one opinion. And the majority opinion is in contrast to this. So the majority opinion, as we said, is that Khalifa here means that Adam and the children of Adam are going to be taking over, are going to be taking over from a previous entity, a previous group. Now, who is that previous group? Who is that previous group? Well, one opinion is that it was the angels themselves, that there were angels that were inhabiting this earth, and Allah said, okay, now you shall go everywhere, and now the earth is going to be primarily for Bani Adam. A more predominant opinion is that there were jinn who were in charge of this earth. There were jinn that were created before Adam. Now, this is something we know. And the jinn were predominantly on this earth. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, I am now creating a new creation that shall supersede the jinn, that they shall take over from the jinn. So this is another interpretation, the jinn. There is a yet another interpretation, which is actually very, very interesting, even though it is a small minority opinion. And that is that, and this is reported from Ibn Umar and from Qatada, and we find it in a very, very few books of tafsir, that there were creatures, khala'iq, that were existing on this earth. And there are different names given to them. Al-Hin and Al-Bin are given. These are found in our books, right? Al-Hin and Al-Bin. And these creatures did much evil, and they killed and they caused mayhem. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that, hey, I am creating a new creation. And this creation is Adam and Bani Adam. And they shall take over from the Hin and the Bin. And we do not have any hadith that mentions these interesting creatures. This is not a hadith. Rather, these are legends that are found in our history books and in some of the tabi'un, and sahaba even attributed to them that they said this. Ibn al-Dawadiri, who died 736 Hijrah, he has a book of history called Kanz al-Durar, and he says أَجْمَعَ أَهْلُ التَّارِيخِ that the people who write history have unanimously agreed. Now he says unanimously agreed, but he says the historians. This is not the scholars of tafsir. This is not scholars of Quran and Hadith. This is just, you know, basically the storytellers or the historians. They say that before Allah created Adam, there were other creations. Of them are the Hin and the Bin and the Tim and the Rim. This is what he's saying. Don't look at me. Hasim just quoting what he says, okay? And these creations, they caused havoc on this earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to get rid of them and to take them to a faraway place. But we don't know anything about their creation. We don't know anything about their realities, but the only thing we know is that they are not spiritual beings, but rather physical ones. That is because they would shed blood. We know this because the angels asked, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا? That the angel said, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا? They're going to shed blood. And so the angels knew that this creation sheds blood. So this author, Ibn al-Dawadiri, says, these creations, the Hin, the Bin, the Tim, the Rim, he just calls them these names, that clearly these are creations that have blood flowing in them, and they have actual bodies. They're not like spiritual entities, end quote. And Ibn Hajar, in one of his books of language, he says, Al-Hin and Al-Bin are two tribes that used to exist before the creation of Adam, as it is said, فِيمَا يُقَالُ. Meaning, I don't know, I'm just telling you, this is what I've heard. Al-Hin and Al-Bin are two creations that existed before the coming of Adam. Now, this is of course extremely interesting and fascinating. We shall come back to this point in a future lecture. Allah knows when, whichever number that's going to be. I'm taking my time and dissecting it bit by bit. But of course, why is this fascinating? Because we know for a fact, biological fact, scientific fact, it is undeniable to anybody who understands what biology and science is that there were creations before human beings, before Homo sapiens. There's Homo habilis, there's Homo rudolfensis, there's Homo erectus, there's Homo antecessor, there's Homo heidelbergensis, all of these, you know, there's Homo floresiensis, there's Homo neanderthalensis, the Neanderthals, right? And then recently there's another species, Homo naledi, it is called. So there's all of these different types of subgenres of creation, and they are humanoid, but they're not humans. They are pre-Homo sapien, and they're not completely like us, and yet they are there. So can it be that the Hin and the Bin and the Rim and the Tim and all of these that are being mentioned are the remnants of the knowledge of those entities? And if that is the case, then that really brings about an interesting reality of how do we understand evolution. We'll come to evolution, don't worry. Inshallah, I have my clear talk, inshallah, that's going to be said when we get to that topic. And it's a very important topic because we do have to discuss the very, very awkward reality of our existence on this earth clearly being at least 100, if not 200, if not more than that, 100,000 years old in terms of us Homo sapiens. And these other entities, you know, Homo habilis and others, they go back maybe a million years. Okay, Homo erectus, they go back so much longer. Lucy, one of the most ancient discoverers, we're talking about maybe more than a million years. You know, this is not Homo sapien, but others. So can it be that these references that we find in our books of tafsir apply to those ancient species of humanoids who are not actually human? Interesting question. We'll come back to this and discuss it when we get there. Right now, we're still talking about inni ja'al fil ardi khalifa. But before we move on, so one interpretation, Bani Adam is the khalifa to these entities. Okay, now by the way, our scholars of tafsir who said this, they're not mentioning Neanderthals, they're not mentioning Homo habilis, they're mentioning the Hin and the Bin and the Tin and all of these things. And I am saying, this is from me, take it or leave it or throw it out the window. I am saying, in reality, what our earlier scholars are saying fits in perfectly with what we know of modern science. And it is possible to extrapolate from what they said and to say that Bani Adam, Homo sapiens, Allah created them to take over the world from these other species, and the angels recognized that those species are not the best of species because they're fighting and they're killing and they're causing mayhem and wreaking havoc. And the angels recognize that Bani Adam is the similar type as them. And so that's why they asked Allah, why would you create the same type of species that's going to go and do all of the killing and all of that mayhem and murder that these other species are doing? So this is the first interpretation. And under it, as I said, who are the Bani Adam taking over? If not the angels, if not the jinn, then the bin and the hin and the tim, all of these things can be mentioned, okay? So that is the first opinion. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. جَيِّد. Okay, let us move on. The second opinion, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, is Allah describing a characteristic of this new creation that is not something the angels are familiar with. So now we have to scrap, like, imagine the first opinion doesn't really exist. And that's why I put it number two, by the way, because in reality, there is a marked difference, even though, as I'll explain, one and two are very similar. And I'll explain why in a while. But let's ignore all of point number one. Let's get to another opinion. Inni ja'alu fil ardi khalifa. Allah is describing to the angels a new creation that is going to be totally different from what the angels understand as being life, as being existence. Why? Because the angels do not procreate. They don't die and then, you know, a new generation comes. The same angel that has worshipped Allah since the beginning of time shall worship, continue worshipping until the trumpet is blown. The angels do not have children. It's literally one batch of angels. Literally one batch. Now, of course, that batch is beyond our, you know, we can't even comprehend. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. We cannot even count that number. But the angels are not being constantly recreated. A new batch comes and they are the same stagnant batch. And Allah is saying, I am going to create a creation that is totally different from you guys. It shall self-generate. It shall replicate. It shall keep on changing. Khalifa, one generation will succeed another generation. So in this interpretation, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً becomes a descriptive clause of what this creation is, the most unique difference between the angels and between Bani Adam. That the Bani Adam keep on replicating and keep on there. Every few decades you look, every few century you look, the same people that you knew, not a single one is alive. You have a whole different group. That's what Khalifa means. And this is an opinion that has been attributed to Ibn Abbas, to Ibn Mas'ud, to Hassan al-Basri. Ibn Kathir mentions it. Al-Mawardi adopts it. And so this interpretation is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the characteristic of replication, the characteristic of constant substitution, the unique characteristic that if you take a snapshot of mankind, like the Prophet ﷺ said, hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, he walked out in one night amongst the Sahaba and he goes, do you see this night of yours, beautiful night, the stars where you can see all the stars, do you see this night of yours and what's happening? He said, 100 years from now, not a single one of you on earth shall still be alive. 100 years from now, a whole new batch will come. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. This is what it means. And this meaning, it fits perfectly with the other two verses in the Quran that talk about khalifa, man being khalifa. So Surah Al-An'am 165, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. It's talking about the differences between the people. It's talking about the fact that Allah has now caused you to come. You are now in charge. Before your parents were in charge, now you are in charge. And not all of you are the same. Some of you have these talents, others have those talents. So Surah Al-An'am 165 seems to be in accordance with this interpretation. Now, why did I say 1 and 2 are similar? They're not the same. I was thinking, as I said, to put them either 1A, 1B, or number 1, number 2. And I decided to go with two different options because it's just easier for us to understand. I'm saying, in reality, 1 and 2 are of the same camp because the notion of Khalifa in both of them is some type of replacement. Either the replacement of Banu Adam from the previous life forms or the replacement of every generation within Banu Adam. Now, here's the point. Opinion 1 and opinion 2 are not contradictory. you can combine them and say, mankind as a whole was the Khalifa to the previous life forms, and then within themselves they shall be Khalifa to each other, and every generation will be فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. A generation came after them, a generation will come after them. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. That's what Khalifa means, and these two opinions are not contradictory at all. The first generation of man replaced the Neanderthals, replaced the previous life forms. That's it, they're gone. And then every subsequent generation replaces the one before it. So in reality, opinion one and opinion two can be put together to form a harmonious full position, and we can factually state that this is the majority position, one and two put together, meaning yani if you take those who said category one, those who said category two, put them together, that's basically the vast majority of the scholars of tafsir and the scholars of lugha. That's how they understood inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, and that is a radically different notion than the way that the verse has been presented to us. Now, how has the verse been presented to us? Well, let us now go to position three, and within position three there are many, many nuances and camps. It's not just one opinion. And this is another point that with humility and respect, inshallah, you're not going to hear too many people say. People lump all of this together, and in reality, if you read the tafsirs, which I have done for the preparing for this lecture, you take a deep dive into who says what. In reality, it's not fair to lump all of these people together. Each one is coming with a slightly different nuance, and we can say generically category three, okay, but within category three, I don't think it is fair to put, Al-Qurtubi, for example, in the same cant as, for example, Maududi or whatever. I think that there are clear differences, and that's the position I'm going to hold on to, because this is, it's my opinion, take it or leave it. So what is category three? I forgot, I jumped to the gun. What is category three? Category three says, Khalifa means that mankind will stand in place of Allah Himself. Okay? That Allah is placing man as a vicegerent, basically. That's the term that is used in English literature. As a political ruler. And man's job is to execute the commandments of Allah. And to judge between the creation. And to implement the laws of Allah. And to manifest the proper servitude, ubudiyya, amongst the creation and between the creation. So, mankind is acting on behalf of Allah. So this is the term vicegerent. Now, a lot of names are put here, and I'll humbly push back and say, it's not fair, as I said, to lump all of these names together. If you read the tafsir, and those who held this view, or those that others claim held this view, in reality, it seems as if, once again, we have a later position, and we're trying to read in our later position into these ulama. And I don't think that is the case. So, for example, Al-Qurtubi mentions an opinion from Ibn Abbas. He says that, إِنِّي جَعَلْفَ عَرْضِ Khalifa, it only applies to Adam, and that's it, not to Bani Adam. That Adam is meant to execute the will of Allah on earth, that to execute the commandments of Allah, I should say, the Sharia of Allah, to be in charge of implementing the Sharia on earth. Al-Baghawi says that this was the job of the prophets of Allah, Adam and Dawood, not for all Bani Adam, only for the prophets of Allah. And he gets this from Surah Sad, verse 26. Surah Sad, verse 26. Ya Dawoodu, inna ja'annaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum bainan nas. O Dawood, we have made you a khalifa on this earth, so judge between the people. So, according to this opinion, khalifa is not something that Bani Adam is capable of. Rather, the prophets of Allah are capable of, and not all of mankind. And some of the scholars like Al-Raghib al-Asfahani and others, they extrapolate a little bit more, and they said not just the prophets, but righteous people. Righteous people are Khalifa, not children of Adam. Not mankind has been created to be God's vicegerent, but rather the prophets are vicegerent, or the righteous of mankind. And this interpretation it has been ascribed to and Ibn Mas'ud and others. So the problem comes, if you study your tafsir, you know this, that a lot of times books written in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th century of the Hijrah, they will ascribe these opinions to Sahaba, and they're mutually contradictory. I mean, sometimes you have Ibn Mas'ud having four different opinions, and they can't all be correct. And this is one of them, where we have Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas and others, they're ascribing multiple interpretations to the same verse. So it is said, Ibn al-Jawzi mentions that Ibn Mas'ud and Mujahid said that this verse applies to man being responsible for applying the laws of Allah in their lives and upon others in their creation and manifesting Tawheed on earth. And it is mentioned, Ibn Kathir and Qurtubi, they also mention an opinion about this, that from this verse, one can extrapolate the proof that it is necessary to establish the caliphate, that you should have a caliphate on earth in order that there be a judge, a final arbiter for mankind. So in this sense, one does find the notion. It is not unprecedented in the books of tafsir. It is not unprecedented that one finds this notion that the righteous, or Adam and Dawood, or even good amongst mankind, that they have a role and a job of being a khalifa. Now, some scholars have pointed out that this khalifa is not on behalf of Allah, but rather by appointment from Allah. That the interpretation of these scholars who claim this, and again, remember, there's three opinions, as we said, one, two, we can say three. So a third opinion is actually a minority one overall. Those who claimed it, generally speaking, that they are saying Allah has given man a status. Allah has given man a responsibility. And that responsibility is that he shall reflect the qualities of the Sharia, implement the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah in a manner that makes him worthy of being a role model for the other creation. The term khalifa anillah, khalifa on behalf of Allah, is really not that common. It is not found a lot in earlier literature. One could say that Allah, in this interpretation, that Allah has bestowed upon them the khilafah, or to be a vicegerent, in a manner that Allah has appointed them. Because you see, there is a theological issue when you say that man is Allah's khalifa. Because khalifa is used for the one who is taking charge when the first one has left. And Allah is there, his ilm is there, his qudrah is there. And Allah does not need, لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Allah does not need anyone to do anything. So the notion that man is in charge instead of Allah, it's as if we are removing Allah from the picture, and Allah can never be removed from the picture. So there seems to be a bit of a theological problem to make such a claim. But to say that Allah appointed us with his qudra and knowledge, not in his stead, that's the big difference here. Not in his stead, but rather Allah appointed us amongst ourselves. Perhaps it can be said that is a classical opinion. Now, not to get too controversial or change the topic too much, but the modern twist has come from thinkers who took this verse and read in very different overtones. Now, the fact that they read in different overtones does not make it wrong. But I'm being, again, a little bit precise, pedantic, and I want you to understand that the thinkers I'm going to mention, I have nothing against them. To be brutally honest, overall, I admire much of what they have done, even though I don't consider myself to be a follower, per se, of these thinkers. And I respect the contributions, the dedication, in the case of one of them, the martyrdom, respect them immensely. But I've never, you know, considered myself to be a follower of their platform. So I speak as an outsider who is overall sympathetic. I make this disclaimer because some people get very, you know, emotional and whatnot. And this is the reality when you love somebody of this regard. So I am speaking as a somebody who admires them, but has not been a part of their movements. And I speak here of the two modern thinkers, Abu al-A'la Maududi, Allah irhamu, and Sayyid Qutb, Allah irhamu. So these two thinkers in particular, Maududi and Qutb, and of course they are associated with the Jamaat Islami, the founder of Jamaat Islami in India, Pakistan. And Sayyid Qutb is of course not the founder, Hassan al-Banna is the founder, but really the primary architect of modern Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood. That both of these figures, they wrote commentaries of the Quran. And the both of them, they took this verse, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, in a very different light. Now again, I'm just telling you what happened. At this stage, I'm not saying what they did is right or wrong. The fact that they did it is their opinion and interpretation. I'm simply saying the way that they interpreted these verses and the hue that they cast on it really is unprecedented. That's what I'm saying, factually. It's just unprecedented. Doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm just saying it is unprecedented. So to bring in notions of political activism and to bring in notions of hakimiyya, that Allah's judgment has to be done in this verse and the caliphate on the earth is a primary goal. Now Al-Qurtubi says you can use this verse to say that we should have a caliph. It's just a cursory thing. Now obviously Maududi, Qutb, they're writing when the Ottoman caliphate has collapsed. There is no khilafah on earth, right? And so they find comfort in this verse. And they use it to justify their vision of Islam, in which, and again, I'm not saying their vision is right or wrong. That's not the purpose of this lecture at all. I have my views, but I mean, that's beyond the scope here. As we're aware, Maududi in particular was the one who really founded it. Sayyid Qutb took these ideas, this notion of making it a primary reality to establish the laws of Allah via an Islamic state, via a khilafah. And obviously, understandably, you know, the Ottoman caliphate has collapsed, and so there is this backlash of trying to re-establish. So they take these verses and they say that establishing a caliphate in which the laws of Allah reign supreme, it is the primary purpose of mankind. Because Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And their interpretation, while not completely unprecedented, as I said, you find whiffs of it here and there, I still argue it is relatively novel. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. I have no problems interpreting a verse, you know, slightly differently than the past, as long as the proper protocols are followed. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm simply saying, to be accurate, that it is somewhat unprecedented. And that's something that needs to be understood in mind. It is interesting to note that their interpretations have become the dominant interpretations almost globally. And the average Muslim, when he hears this verse and understands this verse, the interpretation they get is the interpretation that these modern thinkers have done. And that's an interesting point over here. Now, to conclude this point before I move on, in reality, I have thought about this verse actually for a long time, and I mean like a long time, many, many, many years. I actually started researching this verse, no exaggeration, almost 20 years ago when I was still a student in Medina, and I've done a lot of research in this regard. And I myself have, you know, gone through many of my own phases and thinking and whatnot. And now at this stage of my life, and Allah knows what my future stage is going to hold, I state that perhaps there's an element of truth in all three opinions. That there could be a sense of truth in all three. That man did take over a previous entity, and that Allah is saying this is a creation that will self-replicate and keep on taking over. And that yes, there is a spiritual notion that man has been given a task by Allah. He has been appointed by Allah to do certain things that the other creation has not been appointed to do. And we get this from other verses. For example, the famous verse that إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ, that we gave the amana. What is the amana? Go look up the tafsirs and you'll find all of these interpretations. But it's very clear that وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. It's very clear that certain things, and for example, the verse of Dawood, يَا دَاوُودُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ. We have made you a khalifa on this earth. فَحْكُمْ Hakum bayna nas. So judge between the people. Now, even if you say that only the prophets and the righteous, still there is this notion, therefore, it's not unprecedented. Maybe, you know, a decade ago I would say that, you know, this is a wrong opinion, opinion number three. But now I say, you know, there's an element of truth that we cannot deny. And we even find this in some ahadith as well. The authenticity of those ahadith is disputed. You should know that. Nonetheless, for example, as-sultanu dhillullahi fil ardi, that the sultan is, the ruler is Allah's shadow on earth. Now, the term khalifa is not used, but the notion of the ruler doing something that Allah wants to be done, that is there in the hadith. And in the other hadith as well, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, sorry, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the Mahdi the Khalifatullah. Hadith is in Ibn Majah. He called the Mahdi Khalifatullah, the one that's going to come towards the end of times. He said that the Khalifatullah, the Mahdi, go and give your oath of allegiance to him. So he called him the Khalifatullah. And it is authentically narrated in multiple books of history that when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anh was appointed to be the Khalifa, somebody said to him, Ya Khalifatullah. And he said, I am not Khalifa of Allah. I am Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the fact that somebody addressed him, Ya Khalifatullah, right? And he said, no. And by the way, this interest, very interesting by the way, because you have a whiff of number three, opinion three, that's also being negated at the same time, right? Somebody has an opinion that Abu Bakr is Khalifatullah, which indicates that the ruler is acting on behalf of God. And Abu Bakr says, no, I can't be Khalifa of Allah. That's too big. I am Khalifa to Rasulillah. I am taking charge when the Prophet has gone on. Because Allah doesn't need a Khalifa. Abu Bakr is basically saying, Allah doesn't need a Khalifa, but Islam needs a Khalifa. So I think that's an interesting point over here. And you know, the fact that Allah does not need a Khalifa, actually is also demonstrated by the hadith in Bukhari as well. The famous hadith of Safar, when we travel, what dua do we make? We say, Allahumma anta as-sahibu fi as-safar wal khalifatu fi al-ahl. Oh Allah, you are going to be my companion when I travel, and you are my khalifa in my family. Allah is our khalifa. What does that mean? When I go away and I'm not physically there to protect my wife and children, the dua is, oh Allah, I'm assigning you to be my khalifa. So to say that we are Allah's khalifa, that's very, theologically, it raises eyebrows and it is potentially problematic. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq felt it to be problematic. That's why he said, I am not Khalifatullah. I can't, Allah doesn't need a Khalifa. Allah is Allah. He is Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz, Al-Qadir, Ala Kulli Shayin Qadir, Kun Fayakun. That's Allah. He doesn't need a Khalifa. But Islam needs a Khalifa. So, Khalifa to Rasulillah. So again, this is a very interesting point over here. Bottom line on this interpretation, that as I said, and it's also interesting by the way, it's very interesting. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, in the creation of Adam, is only mentioned once. So clearly, it's not as important as the next incident, which is Allah saying to the angels, bow down to Adam, because that's mentioned like 6-7 times. That's mentioned so many times in the Quran, whereas this is only mentioned once. So, I do say this a little bit bluntly. The later day thinkers who have interpreted this verse the way that they do, it does seem to go against the spirit of the Quran and even of theology, to be honest. But there's a whiff of truth. Yes, they maybe took it a little bit too much. Yes, they maybe exaggerated this notion that the primary goal of Islam is the establishment of, you know, political laws and whatnot. That's not the primary goal. You can, if it were the primary goal, Jannah would be linked to it, right? And you can enter Jannah without such a system, and such a system will not guarantee that you enter Jannah. And I've said this many times, and my views are well known, and some people find them very irritating and whatnot, but it is what it is. And I say it again, the primary goal of existence is the pleasure of Allah, is the entering of Jannah. Therefore, if this entity of a political state is going to guarantee Jannah, no doubt it becomes the goal. Is it good? Of course it's good. Is it something we should try? Of course we should try. But to make it the end all and be all, to make it the primary number one goal, I am against this, and I have been against this for the last, as long as I've been active in preaching and teaching. I don't agree with that strand, with utmost respect and love. I'm not a harsh critic, but I'm just not a part of those interpretations of Islam. And I understand where they came from, I contextualize them, and I appreciate the good that they have done. But I think that this interpretation, Inni Ja'al Fi Ardi Khalifa, has taken this verse in directions that clearly were not intended and are not 100% correct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In any case, all of this was about Inni Ja'al Fi Ardi Khalifa. Now, let's quickly move on and finish up the verse today, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says that the angel said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. So the angels are now asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice, by the way, what a beautiful question. Firstly, they ascribe the evil to mankind, not to Allah. مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. They're the ones causing evil. We do not ascribe evil to Allah. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Evil is ascribed to us, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, they mention murder, سَفْكُ الدِّمَاء, and fasad, which is chaos. And this shows us the worst evil that man can do to man is to kill and to spread corruption, to take the rights of others. That's what fasad means, is to wreak havoc and have civil war. That's what fasad means. So the worst crime that any man can do to other man is to create confusion on this earth and to kill that person. Also, they mention that they are worshipping Allah, which indicates that the most noble matter that any creation can do is the worship of Allah. It's as if they're saying that, oh Allah, here we are constantly worshipping you, glorifying you, doing your tasbih, and there they are constantly raping and plundering and pillaging. What is the comparison? Why would you do that? This also shows us, dear Muslims, a righteous person, the angels, it is allowed to ask questions in order to understand. This questioning, as Al-Baghawi and others say, is not to challenge Allah, because that is not allowed. We do not ask questions to challenge Allah. We may ask questions to seek to understand why. Oh Allah, why? Now, of course, we cannot speak directly to Allah and expect a response. We can ask our scholars and ulama, why did Allah allow this? Why is this something forbidden? And if there's an answer, fine. If we don't understand the answer, we have to hear and we obey. This also shows us that the angels understood that the default of the creation is to worship Allah and to be good. So they understood what is good and evil, and they understood that to be good is good and to be evil is bad. Even before any revelation comes down, it is something ingrained in the creation that to be good is something that is good and to be bad is something that is bad. And they understood that what the children of Adam will do is not normal. It is an aberration. It goes against the beauty of this creation. SubhanAllah. That's something that we have to think long and hard about. That the rest of the creation, except for these other creatures that we took over, the rest of the creation was in sync and in harmony. All of nature was doing perfectly fine. The angel said, oh Allah, this creature is going to wreak havoc. And if you look, frankly, what is happening in the world, if you look at really what we have done, even with nature and with the natural, you know, beauties that Allah has given us and how we have corrupted this earth, subhanAllah, we understand the angels really knew that the reality of what is going to happen here. Now, the question arises, how did the angels know that Bani Adam is going to wreak havoc and cause bloodshed? How did they know this? And the scholars have answered this in a number of ways. One group says, number one, opinion number one, Ibn Abbas and others said, the angels knew this because of the reality of the jinn. And because the jinn committed evil, so they understood that man will create evil. Number two, it is reported from Ibn Mas'ud and others, that they assumed that man would be evil based upon the way that Allah created man, based upon the composite structure of man. And this is a very common opinion. Ibn Kathir al-Qutubi mentioned this as well. Ibn Ashur as well mentioned this. Number three, it is said that they knew that man would be evil because they knew Allah created heaven and hell, and that man would be part of heaven and hell. So if people are going to go to hell, then they're going to be evil. So there's going to be a new creation. Number four, that another opinion, they knew that man would be evil because Allah told them that man would be evil. Number five, some ulama said that they had access to the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and they read portions of the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and they knew that man would be evil. Number six, Fakhruddin al-Razi says that when Allah appointed man to be the Khalifa, this means that he shall judge between man, and judgment can only happen when you have good and bad. So the very fact that Allah is saying, I'm making a khalifa, indicates that there's a need for a khilafah, indicating there's a need for system and laws, indicating that this creation is not gonna, it has checks and balances. So there will be people who go beyond the checks and balances. This is the sixth opinion. And then the final opinion that I'll mention, I already mentioned it before, and that is that Ibn Umar and Qatada mention that there were species before Bani Adam, before Adam, and these species, the Hind, the Bin, the Rin, all of these other ones, the other species, the angels could see they were evil. The angels recognized Adam is a similar concept as these, and the angel said, this is going to be the same as that. Now again, all of these are opinions of how the angels knew this regard. And then inshallah would conclude by the very deep topic, which I'm not going to go into because it's not really the place, and I have gone into this in many other lectures of mine. And that is that even the angels were asking about the very, very difficult question, one of the biggest mysteries of our existence, and that is the mystery of the existence of evil. Why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Why is the world such a difficult place? Why is there evil everywhere? Why would Allah allow this to happen, even though the source, as the angel said, is us? Now, this is the famous topic of theodicy. And theodicy is a branch of philosophy and of theology. And theodicy basically means the wisdom of evil. Why is there evil? And this topic cannot be answered in this series of lectures. It is an entire discipline of philosophy, and you have many different madhabs, and you have every single theologian and every religion and every, you know, atheist, agnostic philosopher. They tried to come to terms with this, and everybody who believes in God, like, why would a merciful God allow the pain and suffering? You know, famous, you know, philosophers from ancient Rome, from every system, they have questioned this. And I have spoken about this. Google, you know, on YouTube, you can look up my lectures. I have khutbas and durus. You know, why is there evil? How can we explain pain and suffering? I have an entire lectures about this. And the bottom line is that generally speaking, we believe that there are wisdoms we don't understand. But even this claim, it must have some faith. There are wisdoms we don't understand. Okay, what does that mean? I mean, why would we accept this? Because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to conclude, Allah Azza wa Jal answered their deeply philosophical question, one of the most deepest questions that has troubled human minds, that was asked even before the existence of mankind. Allah answered them, not by giving a detailed philosophical response, not by taking on the challenge and breaking it down. I'll tell you why there's evil. Point number one, point number two, point number three. No. A creation purer than us, higher up in the hierarchy at that time, very intelligent, Allah said to them, essentially, you won't understand. You'll have to trust me. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I know what you do not know. Even the angels would not have fully understood the implications of the existence of evil. If that's the case of the angels, then me and you, do you think we'll understand? In the end of the day, ours is not to challenge. Ours is not to question. Allah created us. There is a wisdom that is known to Him. If Allah had willed, He could have created something else, completely different. There is no pain and suffering. And He did, actually. It's called Jannah. He did. That place of no pain, no suffering, no harm, that's called Jannah. And if we want to get there, well then, we have to bear with the pain and suffering in this world. We have to deal with it with iman, with taqwa. We have to understand that there's a purpose of life, and Allah Azza wa Jal will reward those who have that understanding with a place in which we don't have to deal with that pain and that suffering. We will have to simply trust Allah. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And with this, inshallah, we conclude today's lecture. Inshallah, I hope you will find it a benefit. And we will continue, inshallah ta'ala, in our next lecture. Until that time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يَا مَنْ أَجَبْتَ دُعَانُ فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون